The following audio message is from Neighborhood Church in Overland Park, Kansas. At Neighborhood Church, we seek to be a community that loves God and our neighbors together. If you would like to learn more about Neighborhood Church, please go to www.neighborhoodchurchop.com.
If you're visiting with us, my name is Dave Parton, the pastor here, and we're always gracious to the mistakes of the worship leader, just so if you're new here. If I ever make a mistake or whatever. My hope for you is that you find a healthy local church. If you're visiting with us, I do want to personally invite you. Next week we're going to have a kind of introduction to Neighborhood Church at 9 o'clock here on Sunday morning. So come and learn more about our church. And if you're interested in becoming a member, we'd love that. We'd love for you to kind of get connected to a local body and know who your local brothers and sisters are you're going to lean into, lock arms with. So that's next week. I'm sure we'll remind you of that in the announcements. A couple things going on today. One is the Korean church, Abundant Life Korean Church, that meets here in our building. They use our building for their ministry as well. By our building, I mean our capital C church building, you know, the Lord's building. Caleb is a remarkable pastor. They celebrate 2 years today. So it's exciting, yeah. So talk about a week after week after week celebration. We're just going to keep celebrating. We're just going to keep celebrating, and that's exciting. I'm actually giving the sermon today, and they did say if you're interested in staying, you can. There's a handful of us that already are, feel free to stay. It starts at 1 o'clock, and they're going to have a bunch of delicious food, especially if you like Korean food. So I think there's room if you'd like to stay for that or come back for that. But to celebrate what God is doing, you're invited. And the last thing I want to mention is Joel and Kirsten are parents. That's exciting. So baby Gertie, so Gertrude Jean Reed was born yesterday around dinner time. 7 o'clock, I think is what Grandpa Tom said. Tom and Deb have photos all over their phones if you want to see pictures of a baby. She was 8 pounds, 12 ounces, and 21 inches long, if that data means anything to you. So sounds like a healthy baby girl. That's what those numbers mean. So they're excited. And I just want to encourage you guys as we get to have more children in our church, that to have baby girls is a miracle. So we've had boys for 8 years, I think. I'm not kidding. So if you want to have children, have girls, and we would love to have more baby girls. Gertie wants to have some friends. Okay, so it's good. My hope for you is that as you come to church on Sunday mornings, you come to see one another. That's a high priority for a lot of us that are Christians, to get to know other Christians and get to know other brothers and sisters of Christ. But you come to be reminded, as Rivers led us this morning, reminded of who God is and reminded of how we're not like him at all. We need him, and we can confess sin, and we can sing songs about his love for us and that he's fighting for us, but we also study God's word. So we're going to be looking at Romans and continuing through Romans. We're in Romans 10. So if you brought a Bible and you come prepared to study the Bible, and my hope is that when I say if you study the Bible, my desire is if you're a member here, that's part of your rhythm in life, is that you open the Bible up more than just on Sunday mornings. And if you have a journal or something, this is a kind of a sweet time. Your church family studies through the scriptures. And if you take a few notes, I always try to put some things up on the screen that are helpful for us to move forward through the scripture. So if you get a place to take notes, or maybe this morning you start, maybe you pull out a little app on your phone and take a few notes about what God's teaching through God's word. And underneath the chairs is Bible. So if you need a Bible or like to have, you know, the hard copy right there in front of you in case the slides move too fast, that you can use that. And if you need a Bible at home, you can take that Bible home with you as a gift from us to you. We love being a church that reads the Bible, studies the Bible, talks about the Bible a lot. Our discipleship groups are centered around Bible studies in those. And what a joy it's been to, in the last 7 years, how much I've learned digging in God's word with all of you. Before we get started, I just want to just start off with just this idea that sometimes in life we're introduced to new things. And I don't know about you, I have 4 children, so as these kids have been growing up, they have unique desires and things they like to watch and do. And with YouTube, there's pretty much a plethora of hobbies from week to week in my home. And for example, there was a season where Jackson and I got into yo-yoing, right? So yo-yoing for me was, I found one in one of my moves as a kid. My dad was in the Navy, so we moved a lot. And I found his old Dunkin' yo-yo, which is exactly the same one you buy today. It's the same exact thing. And I remember learning to do a few little tricks. And of course, there's no YouTube in that day and age. And I was done, and I put it back away, and we had to move, and Jackson found my old yo-yo, and he did a couple yo-yo things, and then anyway, we got into yo-yoing, because you on YouTube, and there's like a world of yo-yoing, and I think there's 400 tricks you can pick versus just the down-up trick that I know, you know, but my love for yo-yoing kind of fizzled out. It kind of lasted a few weeks, and we got a nice yo-yo and learned four tricks, and we're like, that was fun, and it kind of died off. And life for you could be kind of like that, and that's all I want to talk about with yo-yoing. But this last winter, we got into something else. It's called mountain biking. That's a new thing, right? No, it's like I own a mountain bike. We have mountain bikes in our garage. I've actually ridden a bike on trails before in my life. But on YouTube, we found this father and his couple sons. They had like an acre in their backyard, and he made like 6-foot jumps and actually took up an old slide from a water park and put that in his backyard. And they're like riding around. Jackson's like, I want a mountain bike. And I'm like, I don't think that's mountain biking, Jackson. Like, I don't know what that is. That sounds crazy. But we heard about, from these videos, a place in Arkansas called Bentonville, Arkansas, home of Walmart, if you ever shop there. There's this idea that if a city and there's enough money in a county where they say, hey, let's pick one hobby and just go crazy. They did that with mountain biking. So we saw all these videos. So then over spring break, my family, the six of us, we got a little Airbnb and took our bikes to Bentonville. And while we were there, we were like, we've never mountain biked before. This place was phenomenal. I mean, literally like places that you would probably pay $50 an hour to go on was just free. They're building bridges that look like interstate bridges, but only for bicycles. And you're like, what in the world? This is a fantastic hobby. So then we rent some bikes. They were like, they call them assisted pedaling. I call them motorcycles. Like, literally, it's phenomenal. Like, you do this and you go 15 miles an hour. Then you do this, you go 30 miles an hour. It's amazing. So we're up I'm just mountain biking with my kids on these trails in Bentonville. And I fall in love with mountain biking. So much so, last weekend, Jackson and I, we go on YouTube and look, Kansas City mountain biking trails. Like, 81 views, right? Like, we go to this place in Martin City. They're just building it, and it's like a baby Bentonville that nobody knows about, but I'm, of course, telling you now. But it's phenomenal. You know, 4-foot jumps and like signs that say gap, so go fast or don't, or bypass, because like the gap's like 6 feet and like 6 feet deep, and you're like, I'm glad there was a sign there because I would have went in the hole and died, right? But I'm telling you all the story because mountain biking became something more than just like a yo-yo story. It became something like, I'm walking in stores that sell mountain bikes, and I've never done that before. And the price tags are way too big for me yet. Maybe one day. But it's like, I'm looking at these things I just bypassed because it's become a part of Jackson and I's hobby, and we're enjoying it, and we're doing something fun together, and we're like investigating new trails. And why do I share all this? Well, because it's gone from just something that I knew a little bit about. I kind of dabbled in some. I actually tried a few times and even had a good time the few times I did it. And now I'm like going to stores, possibly saving some money up, you know, making plans for my next weekend mountain biking trip. And even gone to the point now where I'm telling you about it. So what does all this mean? Well, you see, when you find something that's not just a partial part of your life or just a season of your life, you sense something like, this is going to be a big part of my life, I think. You don't just kind of do it. You kind of start talking about it, and you develop and you grow in it. And of course, how do we tie that into today? Well, we're going to be talking about sharing Jesus with people. Do you believe that Jesus has really changed your eternity, actually makes your life have purpose? And also it's available beyond just you, that it's available for others. And when we talk about evangelism and we talk about sharing our faith, sometimes a lot of us, including me, you know, we get a little convicted because it's like, man, I've never met somebody who says, I do that too much. Like, no one I've ever met says that. And but we see it common in the scriptures. And a couple of verses we're going to look at today are some of the most intriguing or encouraging. Because we've been talking, if you were here on Easter, which many of you were, you know, everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Like, that's powerful. That's people coming from darkness to life. But why do we struggle with sharing Jesus with people about this amazing thing that's changed our lives? Well, here's a few ideas. One is there's some negative, bad examples of evangelism. And maybe for you, you say, well, I don't want to be like that. For example, you've probably never seen anybody with a bullhorn on the corner says, go mountain biking or go to hell. Like, that's just not something people say. But if people were saying that often, you'd probably be like, I kind of mountain bike. You know, you don't tell people about it because you're like, I don't want to be like that guy. But because there's been some bad examples of, you know, hell or fear being the motivation to get saved or die type, or God hates certain types of people, you're like, I don't want to be associated with that sort of. I'll let my faith kind of be my own secret thing. You know how politics used to be. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like my secret thing. Some of you guys get that. So these extreme cases, these extreme negative cases, sometimes they kind of poke at areas that we're already, maybe it's already kind of bad at, and we kind of use that maybe as an example. Secondly, not just bad examples, but outside of maybe Christian events or, you know, short-term mission trips or something, if a group of people got together and organized it, maybe a leader or a pastor or something, we don't talk about Jesus much with people who aren't Christians. Like, it's not a common thing for, it's a rarity, if you will. So just the fact that it's rare, it's hard to kind of build that momentum up, just like many things that are rare. It becomes the norm. And thirdly, maybe similar to the last one, because it's often only in ministry settings, or maybe between 10:30 and 11:30 on Sunday morning, we don't have a lot of examples. Like, what does it look like to share your faith with a coworker? It's like, I don't know. No coworkers ever shared their faith with me. So what does that mean to be able to do that? Maybe you're in a setting where you're in a school, or you're in a place where it gets frowned upon, or you could lose your job if you did it maybe the wrong way. How do you do that at lunchtime if you go to lunch together? Like, is it, what does that mean? I don't have a lot of examples of people doing that with me. So how would I then learn to do that with others? So there's a confidence, there's a skill set, there's an example that we struggle. And believe it or not, I understand all three of those. Like, I'm right here with you. Like, it is not an easy thing to do for those three reasons, and there's many more. But my hope today is that we won't let something that slows us down makes it where we never talk about it. You know, that we understand, okay, there's some hurdles or some barriers, and maybe we're not good at it, but it doesn't mean we just live with that. But that we actually read the scriptures and see there's a joy, there's an excitement, there's a love for giving away the good news of Jesus. So let me pray before we get started, and then we'll be in Romans 10 together. Jesus, we need you. We need you to continue daily to remind us the hope that we have in you and the passion and the excitement of following you, just to help us make it through the day. We need that, Jesus. We need your scriptures. We need the Holy Spirit. Father, continue to show us your love for us through these experiences. And Holy Spirit, we ask today, as we learn about sharing our faith or taking steps to do that, that you would allow us to take the passion that we have individually, and even in the days that we don't quite feel it, we know the beauty of giving away good news, that you would motivate us to start a new norm, that it wouldn't be rare, and that more and more people would learn about you, and you would call all those that you've called your sheep into your family. It's in your name. Amen. All right, Romans 10:13 is where we're at, and we're just going to read a few verses today. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So today's topic is salvation. And don't think the word preach means preacher, because it just means sharing your faith. Sharing your faith for the salvation of everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. And who is this for? Well, it's for the Jew. It's for the non-Jew. It's for the prodigal son and the righteous son. All right? It's for the rebel. It's for those that have said no to Jesus their whole lives until right now. That's the beauty of the gospel, is it's free. It's available to everyone who calls the name of the Lord. And when we think about salvation, since that's our topic today, even somebody this week said, what's the salvation that we keep talking about? So I don't want to assume that we know that. So here's four things that we're saved from. First of all, the power of sin. There's a power of sin in your life, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that kind of you're a slave to. Your desires, you kind of have to follow them because there's no righteous God fighting for you. There's not a person that's in the battle with you, as we just sang. But there's the enemy pushing you to be in bondage of this desires of the world. Romans 6:18 says this, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness. So you go from slaves of sin to slaves of righteousness. We studied this in Romans 6. Secondly, what else are we saved from? God's wrath and judgment. This is a big one. The very judgment of the perfect God who judges all things rightly. He must judge sin for him to be just. But through salvation, we're rescued from that judgment. Jesus Christ, as we just celebrated the Good Friday through Resurrection Sunday on Easter, that Jesus Christ took that wrath, took that payment of justice. Romans 5:9 says this, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, that's Jesus on the cross, much more shall we be saved from him from the wrath of God. That was what we studied in Romans 5. So we're saved from the judgment and the wrath of God. Thirdly, what else are we saved from? Eternal death. Eternal death. We're granted eternal life when we call on the name of the Lord. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. He is the one who gives us eternal life. And fourthly, the fourth thing we're saved from, spiritual separation from God. So when we're in sin, when we're born in sin, when we're born rebelling, we're born thinking we're our own God. We haven't given our lives to Jesus yet. We are separated from God. That sin, God can't look upon and have a relationship with. But once you become saved, once you call on the name of the Lord as your Lord and Savior, then you're now in the family of God, and you're united with God in a lot of ways. And Romans 5:10 says this, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? So in his resurrection, we're saved into this reconciliation. So in review, power of sin, God's wrath and judgment, eternal death, spiritual separation from God. These are all good things to be saved from. Amen? Amen. Okay. So if this is the message, this is the good news that we're talking about in today's passage, my hope is you would see, it's really good news. These are four things that you wouldn't want any one of these for in your life. And we should never take for granted the love that God has for us in sending Jesus, that he would do this for us. Romans 10:9, as we read last week, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. This is the message we have for everyone that we come in contact with. This is true for them, if they would do this. So Paul moves from this declaration of what is true to the church to be challenged and encouraged to go and share this message, that everyone calls on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Now, what's the challenge? Well, let's read it. Verse 14. How then will they call on him whom they've not believed, and how are they to believe in him whom they've not heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? So we have this little, these logical steps. You know, Paul's constantly arguing with himself and proposing these logical arguments. And he kind of takes us backward through the series. It would be like this. Like, let's get away from spiritual things for a moment and just say I had a fact that I wanted to communicate to you. Everyone should play an instrument. You might say, but how can they play if they've never heard live music? How can they hear live music if they've never seen an instrument being played? And how could they even play without a teacher? And how could there be teachers if nobody's making and sending out teachers? This is the idea that Paul's proposing when it comes to calling on the name of the Lord. It didn't just happen. There's some steps that must go into place. So what are the actual steps? Well, we'll just put them on the screen here, and it's just kind of walking backwards. So the first step is sending. So for someone to call on the name of the Lord, the last step in the last rung in the ladder, the last step on the staircase, it starts with there's ascending. And what's the sending? Where it's this idea that there's a divine calling from, we'll just say, the Great Commission, that Jesus said, go and make disciples. And he's saying that to us, his children of God. He said, go and make disciples. So Jesus, the great sender, he sends us out to preach the good news. We must be equipped, we must feel called, and we must respond. But next, after you're sent, you can't just meander around. There's a purpose. There's a reason for you were sent. You were sent out to do something. And what's the thing you were sent to do? Well, to preach or to share Jesus. It's an act of proclaiming the truth of Jesus. And this is kind of when I think through the gospel, which I get to regularly do it weekly with many of you, and this isn't unheard of. It's I think of the life of Jesus first. So I'll say something like, Jesus's life was perfect. That's important because that's the righteousness that we get and that we give away. So I think that in my head, if I'm sharing the gospel with you, the preaching is I share Jesus was perfect, the Son of God, never sinned. And what happened to the perfect Son of God? Well, he died on a cross. He died for the sins of humanity. So there's this like, he takes our sin away and he dies for them. But then what we celebrated last week, number three, is the resurrection. He lives. We have a living God. Christians don't worship this dead prophet. We worship a living God. So the perfect God dies on the cross for our sin and raises again. And in that, a great exchange happens where we get Jesus' perfection because he took on our sin. And that's what I think of when I think of the gospel. And this is the message. This is the preaching message. This is us sharing Jesus with others. And it's the last thing. Everyone who calls on his name is Savior and Lord. We talk about this a ton lately. Savior, that he died on the cross. And Lord, you want to be under his authority. You'll be saved. And that's the gospel. And I don't mean to make it trite or small. It's huge. It's major. I just, in my head, you kind of need to kind of line some of these up. Because if I walked around right now, you're like, Dave, do not come down here, right? You know, it's like, it started putting a mic in your face. You're like, oh, what did he just say? What did he just say? What did he say, right? But the joy of being a Christian is having just a few things in your head that are true about Jesus, that if somebody said, hey, what's this hope that you have? That you would have something like that in your head. The truth of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Let's throw those three words together. His life, his death, his resurrection. And all you need is like one clause for each one of those, right? And that's the truth of Jesus. And many will disagree with you, but some will not. Some will say, tell me more. And oftentimes you can share your own story in that scenario, but life, death, resurrection, or life, death, life, however you best remember that. So there's ascending. Then there's the teaching or the sharing of Jesus. And thirdly, there's the hearing. And this is the part of the receiver of the message. There must be some hearing. We'll talk about this in a second, but like you're not to shout because the goal isn't you talking, right? If there's any teachers in the room, the goal isn't getting paid for 7 hours to talk. You get paid so people learn, right? That's why there's those tests, right? The state tests. Like, are your kids learning anything? Because that's what we want to know. Not like, do you say stuff every day? And guys, once a week for 30 minutes, you know, I study throughout the week and I say stuff for 30 minutes. Like, I promise you guys, my hope is that there's like collective learning happening right now during this time. Not, whew, that 30 minutes is over. Good. I mean, public speaking is not everybody's favorite thing to do. And it was not mine at all when I started this. But my desire for you is that you recognize when you teach or you share something about your life, that there's learning, there's listening, there's hearing. And that often takes a little bit of hey, what'd you think about that? Or you have any questions about what I said? Or Have you experienced anything like this before? Like, just seeing if there's some hearing taking place. Fourthly, this is the work of the Spirit of God. It's the believing. So once they hear the message of the gospel, and many of you are followers of Jesus, you have this experience in your life, where you believe. Something happens in your heart where you're like, that's true, and I want to follow Jesus with my life. There's a believing. And fifthly, it's the calling on the name of the Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's the beautiful story. That's the beautiful steps that Paul's laying out for us in the passage today. So as a church body, these are just another phrase that helps me recognize as a Christian, not your pastor, but as a Christian in the neighborhood, there's faces. So I see people. That's where a lot of my relationships start. But the movement is to friendship. Like, they should know that I care about them. And then from faces to friendship, then it's to family, spiritual family specifically. My goal is that all my friends would fall in love with Jesus. Well, my hope is all the faces I see would fall in love with Jesus. I just don't know everybody. But like, it kind of gives a little bit of some stages of how I think of evangelism. That's been almost every example that I have of leading people to Christ. Face to some sort of relationship. It could be a short relationship, but it's something happens. And then family, spiritual family. So as a church body, there's a rhythm that we try to encourage. This little blue book, I put some on a table as you go out today. It's called Bless Rhythms. And what I want to just do a quick review of these. On the back, there's a summary. If you don't want to look through these, I don't know, 10-page book. It's not very long, right? So there's a summary on the back. And B-L-E-S-S, each one of those means a word to help in my brain go, how am I preaching, sharing, going from faces to friendship to family? And none of these will be mind-blowing. That's what makes it a good rhythm of people's ministry in our community, in our church. And you don't normally do all five of these all at one time in 10 minutes. It's kind of like a lifestyle. That's what we call them, rhythms. So B is begin in prayer. You've probably heard me say this 100 times. I think we should talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. And I think it's in that prayer time where we begin to like think through who and where people are in their lives, and it helps prepare us for a healthy conversation. It helps us maybe even in our minds, we're in that time with God, we pray by name for somebody and maybe he brings up another name. Somebody else maybe in the friend group or somebody else that maybe is like, oh yeah, 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 probably should be praying for that person too. And then you're like, oh, I'm gonna see them this week. And you understand this, like talking to God about people is good. And I think he desires that. I think with Jesus early in the morning and late at night, I picture Jesus going, Father, what do you want me to do today? And God gave Jesus direction each and every day. And at night, Jesus goes to the Father and he's like, how'd that go today? You know, it's like, see you in the morning. And then you wake up and Jesus gets direction. I think that's the rhythm that we find from our Savior, the Lord. When the Son of God came, he talked to God a lot. And I think we should do that when it comes to sharing our faith. What's the L? What's the listening? It's the not walking in with the only person with a message. It's walking in going, hey, tell me your story. What's your journey like? Jim and I did a little evangelism this last week, and one of the first things we talked about was, you know, what's some initial first questions, you know? And one question I use all the time is I say, do you have any church background? Did your family ever go to church? Because a lot of people I meet are like my age. Like, it's kind of like a pretty, you know, that's kind of how you meet people around your age. And there's a lot of years there were some church could have been somewhere. And one of the ladies I met said, no. She's like, no. Like, and I was kind of like, ever? You know, I was like a wedding or something? You know, I was like, I'm trying to figure out, like, have you ever been a part of church? And we had a great conversation and found out that her kids are going to come to sports camp. She's like, oh, I didn't know. They can go. They're old enough. Yes, come bring them. She's like, I'll sign them up. I said, I'll put a website on the lawn, sign in there. She's great. She lives really close to the church. Hope she's in this room one day, right? It's like the beauty is you never know, but you have to like listen and ask questions. That's where the hearing kind of comes into play. So thirdly, eat. This is just Like, recreate with people. Like, don't have only formal meetings where you're behind a podium with a microphone. Like, this is a way. But from my experience, the best way is, like, with food. I mean, everything's better with food. Like, honestly. You know? I go to an activity, I've got a bag full of food. It's like, whatever it is. It's like, it just makes things better. So the idea of eating just kind of hopefully in your mind sparks like a friendship, a relationship. Like, this is what most people do. When we started the church, we had like twice a month firesides. Many, some of you guys in the room were part of those. Literally, it was like people brought coolers and drinks, and that's what we did. I mean, it was a fire pit, but it was really like a feast. And we loved that time together. And a lot of us got to know each other during that time. And I hope we continue to do those kind of things in spring. Because eating and enjoying one another and having people where their legs are under your table and you're having a meal that you fix for them is where like 99% of our relationship started in this room when we began this church. Legs under your kitchen table, just talking. And we learn about life and learn about deaths and marriages and kids and God. It's the best. Still happens today. It's still the best. All right, the first S of bless is for service. I would say this is, there's two ways to this. One is Christians are not to be the saviors of the neighborhood. Jesus already did that, okay? But Christians should be in a give and take, give and receive relationship with people. So if a neighbor says, can I help with that? And you're like, oh no, I'm here to serve you. You've missed it. There's this back and forth service where it's like, please, you have a bunch of bricks that you're not using? I'll take them all. You don't know where you're gonna put them yet, but it starts a relationship and you use their bricks. And you're like, good, I got rid of the bricks and they're happy about it. But vice versa, you don't ever wanna be the lazy neighbor who people are outside doing stuff and you're like, nah, I don't do that. That's not my thing. No, we have to get our hands dirty. We say yes. And in general, you guys know this, there's a lot of hard workers in this room. Like, generous with your time and money and talents is one of the brightest things Christians can do. Not to say it's going to make us stand out amazingly, but if we're lazy and stingy, nobody's going to listen to us at all, right? At least be a part of helping when help is being asked. And Rivers has been a great example for that in my adult life of just saying yes, like 99% of the time. And I tell you what, we've gotten a lot of great relationships with a lot of people, and we've got to be served and serve a lot of you in this room because of this lifestyle of generosity with your time, talents, and money. And I think just being generous is just the way Christians should live. Lastly, it's for story. And this is the very thing we were talking about before when it comes to what do we preach? What do we teach? What do we share about Jesus? What is your story? What is their story? And we can do the first four things and just be really nice Christians and nobody fall in love with Jesus. But sharing why you are the way you are and you have a deep enough relationship where that's not weird to talk about, my hope is the story part is something that you're always looking forward to. Like, is this the day where we share the story of Jesus? Where we share where Jesus changed my life, where I became different, where I kind of can be the man I am today because of what Jesus has done for me. Why do I give? Oh, because God gave me so much. Oh, that kind of makes sense. Your religion's really important to you. Yeah, that's one way to say it. You know, it's like, you know, like there's lots of beauty of sharing your story and the why behind who you are to the world. So as we kind of go to the very end of this passage, I hope you're encouraged and not just intimidated by living out the blessed rhythms, because I think it's beautiful to have a life like that. It gives you purpose as a Christian, not just a I'm not going to hell type person, but let's bring as many people to heaven with us type person. Romans 10:15 says this, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, who share Jesus, right? This is in quotes because it's a passage. Paul often will quote the Old Testament. He's quoting Isaiah here. I'm going to read from Isaiah for you. I'll put it up on the screen as well. Isaiah 52:7. This is Paul quoting an old prophet hundreds of years before him. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That's to Jerusalem. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, these watchmen. Now, what in the world is Paul referring to that he's talking about, you know, how will they know unless somebody is sent to them to teach about Jesus? And he ends with this like phrase from Isaiah 52. And it's this message in Isaiah where, you know, we've talked about the Jews a lot, like they were in captivity under Egypt, and through the Exodus, Moses brings them to the promised land. But it's not easy for the Jewish people, all right? It's not easy for the Jewish people today. It's just not easy for the Jewish people. And there's different times that they were captured, right? They were taken out of their land and went to exile. And one of them was the Babylonians. They came and captured Jerusalem. But then the Persians came and took the Babylonians. History, wars, picture that going on. This isn't new. But the Persians are like, Jews, you can go back home. So there's literally people in the mountains that are sharing the story. We get to go back home after 70 years of being in captivity in not our land, living in other people's houses. We get to go back home. And this is the good news. And this is what Paul is wanting to encourage us today. The imagery of the messenger who gets to go and shout, guys, we get to go home. We're free. It's a message of hope and peace. The captivity is over. And what do we find in Christ? That as Christians, we get to be this generation's messenger of hope and peace. And how beautiful are the feet of those who take that opportunity to go, you're free. You don't have to be enslaved to this chaos. Your citizenship can be in heaven. So here's the beautiful thing about the gospel. All the work has been done. And we actually can't add to it, because all the work is complete. If we felt like we had to add to it, it wouldn't be the very message that we preach. Earlier, I talked about Bentonville, the city that's like mountain biking capital of the world. And in this town that looks like it's more designed for bikes than cars, you recognize that it wasn't a bunch of locals that put it together, that it was construction crews and blueprints, and the city has done all the work. I mean, if I had a shovel and I went out there, they'd probably tell me to go home, because I'd make it worse. It's already great. And when it comes to the gospel, we need to recognize that all the work has been done. Amen? All the work's been done. What's our goal? Beautiful feet. Oh, the beautiful feet that bring good news. That's the story we get to share. Oh, the beautiful feet that bring good news. Salvation is for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Jesus has freely done the work. We've been given the gift to go share this joy with everyone we see. And there's a beauty in the simplicity that the work's been done and we get just to share it. The hard work is complete, and our salvation is motivational for us to continue the story. So in review, I like to do this at the end of our sermons, just kind of what's the last 30 minutes been about. Everyone who calls the name of Jesus is saved. We're sent to preach the good news. That's all of us, not just preachers. Or how about this? You're all preachers. See, now it's easy. You're preachers. Now go preach the good news. Bless this little booklet. If you want to know more about it, it's written very well. It's very, very a great thing to discuss around your dinner table. And then remember how beautiful are the feet that bring good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being the first to take the step to do the work. For you so love the world that you sent Jesus Christ on our behalf to die on the cross for the sins of humanity. Thank you. Thank you that you have allowed us to be a part of sharing this good news, and we get to have joy and satisfaction that we have a purpose as we await your second coming. We're in awe that you would use imperfect people like us to get to share this good news, but what good news it is to share. And thank you for the many, many beautiful feet in this room that lives lives to encourage, to share, to bless others so they also can have eternal life. Amen. Each week we take communion together to be reminded of all the work that has been done. And each one of these spaces is two cups. On your far left over here, there's a gluten-free option in the middle. But you'll take those two cups and just take them back to your seat. And as you consider what you've heard this morning, there'll be some music playing. Talk to the Lord. I would encourage maybe everyone in the room, if you're a Christian, pray by name for one person. Think through one person that God might be calling you to bless, so possibly they'll respond and come to faith in Christ. So as a reminder, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had a meal with his disciples, and he took the bread on the table and he broke the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. And often as you eat this, remember me." May we remember him this morning. And like it, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood cup. It's a new covenant, a new promise for all. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And Jesus said, "When you drink this, remember me." My hope this morning is that we remember what Jesus has done for us as he took our sin away. And as often as we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death till he returns. As we await his second coming, may we live lives of beautiful feet. So if you're a Christian today, please come, eat, drink, and remember. And if you're not, you want to talk more about Jesus, I'll be on the front row. I'd love to talk more with you. Or if you have something you would like me to pray with you about, I'd love to pray with you. So come.